Good morning and welcome to Filtered. It is 7 a.m. on Monday morning if you're listening to this live. Filtered is a daily digital thought download on everything from leadership to wellness to health. This morning, myself and Jamie Heaslip are speaking about nutrition and health in the context of lockdown and COVID and trying to maintain your values when it comes to your health and fitness when routine has gone out the window. Because I think, Jamie, routine and health are so inseparable. And when someone's routine goes out the window, I think that's where the biggest risk of throwing all of anything you value around health or nutrition also goes out the window. Would you tend to agree?
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, I think... like anything, it kind of comes down to habits. And then, you know, when those habits get stressed, what happens when you're stressed? You know, what are you reaching to give you comfort, or what's easy to do as such? You know, and food is an easy way to give yourself a little short-term dopamine hit, for want of a better word, through having a, you know, bar of chocolate or reaching for that glass of wine. Or whatever like that, you know. So I think a lot of people saw that. And plus, because like you said, sorry, because routine was kind of all over the place to a certain degree, people were probably looking for quick and easy, because, you know, maybe they didn't know they were like juggling COVID, you know, minding their kids while working from home or whatever. There was so many different curveballs thrown at it. But I think once we got into a rhythm, or not a rhythm, but once we kind of, it started finding a some sort of pattern, I suppose, through lockdown, and now people are kind of realizing, oh, you know, I might have put on, it used to be the J1 stone or whatever. When I was in Google, people warned you about the Google stone in the first 6 months.
Interesting. You know, I want to come back to that.
Well, a lot of it is because, you know, you're kind of seeing what's there and what's easy to reach out to, as opposed to, you know, what maybe, and sorry, there's different ways you can kind of try and get around that. And actually Google do some quite interesting things in-house about how they try and get around that. But I think essentially people were kind of going for what's easy and what's kind of what they know.
Yeah. On one hand, when I was in the office and stress levels are high, you're moving quickly, you don't always have time to cook for yourself, you're picking things up on the run. You know, I found it quite easy to fall into bad habits. And for me now, being at home, where I have much more control over what I'm consuming, you know, I have time to maybe, you know, put something in the slow cooker at 11 o'clock and it's ready for the evening. We've got more time to cook and prepare food, which we all know is the key to healthier eating. But at the same time, and trends that I'm seeing on Lovin' are, it's funny because our home workout videos spiked massively in lockdown, but so did our filthiest recipes. No one was interested in the salads, the healthy cheat meals that we were doing. Everyone wanted cheese, chocolate, and comfort food. And I think, although we've got more control over what we're eating and we can cook for ourselves, it is something to punctuate the day. So there seems to be an obsession around what I'm going to eat. When you're sitting and looking at the same four walls all day, how are we punctuating our day? We're punctuating it with meals.
Like, I mean, I think just to jump in there though, right? Okay, so I've not, meals are part of an experience and it's great. Like, particularly if you have people around you, your family around you, and it should be like that. Food should be something that is part of that experience. But just the language that you're using there in terms of comfort food, what you're already associating with comfort food, you know, the patterns that you have already formed and are reinforcing with your language there is, I think, something that people have to reassess, because it, at the end of the day, it depends on what are you trying to achieve. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you have to be like a monk the whole time, but I mean, if you got to realize that what you put in is what you'll get out. Like anything, we talked about what we're consuming with our minds. You know what I mean? But if you're eating particular types of food the whole time, don't be surprised at the outcome. It's like for people that they go to the gym, they're like, oh, I'm training loads. Yeah, that's fine. But you go home and you have, like, I don't know, like a big bowl of pasta with loads of cheese, and then you're having dessert afterwards and whatever, you know, like, you can't have it every which way. I think, yes, we need you need balance and you need to kind of have a yin and a yang or whatever you want to call it. But I mean, you got to realize that you got to be kind of aware of the language that you're using and the food that you're consuming, if that's what you're going. Because what I'm trying to get at is that, like, I mean, I hate the word diet. I hate it. I think it's more like you should be looking at what are your eating habits there, you know, or what's your style of eating or something like that, as opposed to a diet. Because diets are fads. It's short term. It's not long term. And really, when you look at food, you should be thinking of your, you know, what you're consuming and the compound effect that has over time. You know, just look at obesity rates, look at type 2 diabetes trends, all going up because of people associating things with comfort food, and that comfort food because it's easy and you know, it tends to be highly, highly processed, a lot of sugar. So your blood sugar response goes through the roof, your insulin levels go through the roof, and you keep doing that, that's going to blunt your body's response or your ability to deal with that. And that's going to have a massive knock-on effect down the line for you. But people don't, we're so bad at thinking long-term that we just look for that short-term dopamine hit. It's kind of like the phone. It's like, oh, I'm bored. What am I going to do? I'm going to look up my phone and get a little hit from whatever is on Instagram, for example. It's the same thing when it comes to food.
It's the same message that permeates most of our conversations, short-term versus long-term. And people are really bad at recognizing what makes them feel good in the long term. We're so governed by this short term quick fix, want to feel good now. I don't care about the future. I'm stressed. I've had a, you know, the kids are in my face all day. I need a bowl of pasta and that's going to make me feel good now. And it's the imagery that we associate with these food experiences that we start to believe that they can make us feel good, or we can bring back happy moments through the food we eat, which is just not true.
But the thing is, like, so it probably comes down, in most cases, it probably comes down to time, right? And look, we're all guilty of it, right? But, you know, if you try, like, on the overall eat well, you know, what's eating well? It's eating wholesome foods. It's not eating processed foods. It's going out. It's, you know, it's making your food, not just buying it in a packet and sticking it in the microwave, right? And even with that, it's actually, in fairness, it's getting better. I was talking to a guy last week, this company called Feed, F-I-I-D, and he's putting, like, really, they use what's it called? Seuss-style cooking, you know, where they put it in the bags? I'm probably butchering that. But they do that on scale. So he's able to create these plant-based meals that have a shelf life of 12 months, and they don't have to be in the cold aisle, that, you know, they're making these options easier of getting more wholesome foods that are not really processed. Cause that's literally just put in a bag and heat it up. Yeah. But I think, you know, the other, like, I think people, they don't put the time aside to prep for the week, or, you know, prep their meals or whatever. I know it sounds boring, but, like, again, it comes back to, like, what are you trying to achieve? You know, if you were like, okay, like, what I do is, like, Monday to Friday is generally pretty clean for me. And then Saturday, I kind of, not that I go out of my way, but, like, I don't want to call it a cheat day, but it's a day that I don't really worry about what I'm consuming. And then Sunday is either a fasting day or a kind of reduced calorie day. And that's how that's how the balance works for me. But, like, during the week, it's clean. And to get around that now, I use a company called Parallel Nutrition. I've used them for a long time just to help me out. And when I was playing, I prepped loads of my food because I had a lot more time. But, like, that's not to say I could do it now. I could prep all the food on a Sunday if I wanted to. But I'm lucky. I don't have to do that right now. But, It's kind of dependent on what you want to achieve. If you just keep eating crap all day, every day, it will have a knock-on effect for you. And I think you just have to try and reframe what you're trying to achieve. And then look, you can get into, like, you know, actual training and stuff like that in terms of, because you need to do, well, not that you need to do both, but but I think the food is definitely a bigger factor than people believe in terms of achieving health goals.
Mm. You've said to me 80-20, like food is 80%, maybe 20% is your exercise, which I think people find that hard to believe. But when you talk about meal prepping, those are the things that we can put in place that are the actions of our long-term interests. So if you know that you're the type of person that can be pulled in by short-term gratification, like I know that I'm that type of person, and I already can know when there's a thought starting in my head that's about to take me off track. And the key is knowing yourself, knowing when those thoughts arise and how to push them back down. So I know now that I associate, you know, during the summer, I had lovely afternoons on the balcony with a glass of wine reading a book. And now I think glass of wine means relaxation, sunshine, looking at the sea. No, it doesn't. A glass of wine is a glass of wine. The feelings I had on the balcony were it was a lovely evening. It was nothing to do with the glass of wine. And I'm responsible for making sure that I can keep myself feeling good without hinging that to a food item or a glass of wine. So I know once I start thinking, oh, wasn't that lovely? Oh, don't I deserve that? Oh, don't I deserve to relax? I can catch those thoughts and say, no, Megan, what's the long-term plan here? You've already decided that you're eating, you know, you've made your meal for this evening, that you're doing your meal prepped meal. Mm. And once that food is in the fridge, that plan is made, your short-term brain has less of a chance to succeed over your long-term.
And just
brain.
Even on that, like knowing your own worst enemy at times, like get the crap out of your house.
Yeah. And if there's biscuits in the press, they're gone. So yeah,
that's the thing. I'm the exact same. If there's something in the house, I'll eat it. Like, so yeah. I just don't let it be in the house.
Yeah. And that's your long-term self-protecting yourself. And you go to the supermarket. It's like, I am not putting that in the press because I know myself. But I think people find it hard to admit who they are, especially when you're facing a pack of chocolate digestives. You can convince.
And just, sorry, again, just on that, by the way, all calories are not the same. So if you're counting calories, which is good and bad, because it's good because it's at least trying to give you a sense. It's bad because you're taking like external cues in terms of what volume is, but all calories are not the same, FYI, just so people know.
Yeah. And the imagery that we're talking about in our heads, it comes back to that. That's what advertising companies use to say, you love this. This is happiness. This is, you know, health. This is vitality. And they do a really good job of us starting to associate those foods with happiness and, you know, cope with the happiest moments. But just make sure that you can audit those thoughts in your head and you know what's happening to you. So you've some sort of autonomy over the choices you make. And absolutely, I love a Coke on a Friday night, but just make sure that you're not being pulled in out of your control, you know?
Yeah. It's like anything, isn't it? Like, try and stay in the middle of the road. Don't be going for the extreme. Like, being extreme on anything is dangerous. Mm. And look, if you're a little bit more over to, you know, eating more comfort type or whatever that is to you, maybe just pull yourself a little bit more into the middle. Or if you're too extreme down the other end, again, you know, pull yourself in a little bit. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of different trends. You can open Pandora's box on the different types of, you know, ways of eating, or, you know, we can open the Pandora's box and people's views on fasting, for example, or intermittent fasting. But in general, like, it's just, you're trying to get balance here and trying to get some sense of perspective and connections on what food means to you. And, you know, the associations that you have with foods and the habits that you have around food, just like we've talked about with the content that you're consuming. It's very similar to that. But, and, you know, look, we'll caveat, we're not experts in any of this. FYI. So
speak for yourself, Jamie.
Before people come hard, you know, out the gate at us. But, you know, we all come across, it's a common topic for us all at different times with our friends and family.
Well, we all eat, and I think everyone at some point has had maybe a bit of a dysfunctional relationship with food, whether it's, you know, you binge beyond your hunger or you've tried an extreme diet. I think most people I know have done something like that. But I think what's key is if you are having trouble, if you're finding your relationship with food in lockdown has changed and you're losing control of it, what we've said here today, I think the key point is notice your food associations. Everything starts with a thought. Like you getting up and going to the biscuit press started with a thought. Start to notice those thoughts. What are those red flags that you know, oh, Megan's starting to go off the wagon here because those thoughts are coming in. And just be able to monitor them. And once when they come in, then you've got a much better chance of saying, no, hold on, that's not the goal. That's not the plan. I want to feel good long term, not just for the next 10 minutes. Okay, so it's Monday, so it's meal prep day. Let's go do it. Let's have a healthy week. Thanks so much, Jamie. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same place at 7 a.m.
Take care.